You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here, talking to you guys, taping this on Thursday afternoon. The Wizards are playing tonight against the Knicks, so not really going to talk about so much of the Wizards today. I'll discuss that on the Thursday night podcast that you will already listen to, but this one's going to be sort of a, I guess we'll call this the award show edition, something to that effect. going to give out some awards, going to have some got some funny questions to ponder here, doing all that with my guy, Mr. Nick Ashew from 106.7. Nick, how are you?
Fine, man. Oh, you give me an applause and everything? I like that.
I found some sound effects. It's only like 8 months into the podcast, but...
Well, you've evolved a long way since starting this off, so I'm proud of you.
That wasn't a rim shot, but just to show that I can have one.
Wow. All
right, so we're going to get into a few things here. Of course, if you miss any of our podcasts, go check us out on iTunes. Just if you're into the Georgetown Patrick Ewing thing, I just did a whole bunch on that. And, of course, all things Wizards, from the recaps to other angles of the team, check it out on iTunes. Also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, at Ben Standing, at Locked On Wizards. And Nick, you are at Nick Ashew, right?
That has not changed. That is correct.
You know, let's check in. All right, so let's get into some of these things. This is, you know, the NBA regular season is almost done. Everybody's talking about some awards. I thought we would do that as well. Nick is a Nick and I used to do a podcast over at other places he used to work, and NBA one. So now I thought, all right, let's get back into this. Let's start with the obvious one, Nick. MVP for the league. Everybody's saying it's Russell Westbrook, it's James Harden. Maybe there's some other options. What say you? If you got to vote, who are you giving it to?
You know, it's I actually went down the road of begging for a co-MVP. I think it'd be great. But you have to have the voters vote the same amount to be able to get a co-MVP. Because if there's any year where two guys really deserve it, I mean, isn't it James Harden and Russell Westbrook with what they've done? But with the season that Russell Westbrook has had, and you know me, like I'm a fan of what Russell Westbrook is accomplishing, but I'm not a fan of the way he does it. Like, I would never start my franchise with Russell Westbrook on my team. He's just not efficient enough for me. But, like, the dude's going to average a triple-double this year. It's a historic season. It's been done once before, and especially in today's NBA, the way the game is played, it's an enormous feat. I don't see how there's any way you can't go with Russell Westbrook in this sense. And I feel bad for James Harden, because this will be a second time that he'll probably be a runner-up for MVP, and the guy's deserved an MVP with the way that he's played in Houston, and he's going to end up being the bridesmaid once again.
I have gone back and forth on the whole Westbrook-Harden thing a bunch of times. I think I was somewhere the other day, and I said, Harden, I'm totally with you on the Westbrook. Did you see, though, the video that somebody put together? Might have been like Colin Cowherd's show, I'm not sure. But of, like, all the rebounds he gets because his teammates just basically stand there, especially, like, on, like, a missed free throw or something. They just, like, stand there and let the ball hit the ground so he can get it.
It's all Russell Westbrook on that team. I mean, there's nobody else around him that's anywhere close in terms of talent. There are very few players on that team that even deserve to start on a really good NBA team. He's everything for that team. And if you want to really define a most valuable player, I mean, is there anybody that's not more valuable? Like, sometimes with the MVP, we kind of get to the point where we're almost trying to overthink it, you know, break it down. If you really want to be serious about it, LeBron James would just get it every single year. He's incredibly efficient. He makes everybody around him better. He elevates players' games. He's pretty much the general manager of a championship-winning team. I mean, there's nobody that deserves it every single year more than LeBron James. But it's not going to happen. Voters aren't going to do that. So you ultimately have to look at it and say, Russell Westbrook is having a historic season. Is he efficient? Is he taking a ton of shots? Yes, he's not efficient. He's taking a ton of shots. But you know what? You average a triple-double in a season, it's got to be him. So...
All right, so here's the thing. If we were just picking between Westbrook and Harden, I think you make some fine points. What Westbrook is doing is insane. I'm with you. But you know what? I'm not going to lie. As I started to look at this, I'm really thinking that Kawhi Leonard is getting shorthanded here. I mean, everybody just assumes that the Spurs win 60 games every year because that's what happens. Look at that team. Who was on that team? I've always thought LaMarcus Aldridge is a bit overrated. His numbers are not that impressive. But then you get past those two. Well, an 82-year-old Pau Gasol is the third leading scorer. Tony Parker is a shell of himself. He's their fourth leading scorer. Patty Mills is fine. Manu Ginobili, Danny Green, David Lee. That's their top eight. I mean, really, the Wizards have a top eight. The Wizards starting five is better, just in terms of talent.
But you got to remember, Ben, you got to remember that the Spurs aren't flashy. And Kawhi Leonard isn't in a ton of commercials. He's the most boring guy you could ever have in interviews. He's the ultimate Spurs player. But, you know, besides that, the problem with the NBA, and this is always something that's bothered me a little bit, though I do like the fact that we do have a lot of stars, and I think the NBA now has some of the greatest collection of stars that it's ever had. It's a star-driven league. It's a league where players are promoted for their personalities, for what they're wearing when they're walking in, right? Like, think about Russell Westbrook. It's always about his outfit when he's walking into the arena. He's a dynamic personality, so he gets more attention in that sense. Kawhi Leonard is in every bit deserving of MVP, as James Harden, as Russell Westbrook. But the problem is it's the Spurs. He's just not flashy. They're not that flashy. And honestly, if you really want to think about it, the Spurs have pretty much made people numb to their success because they're in the same spot every single year. And we sometimes forget about how good San Antonio is because it's just sort of expected.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the problem. I mean, you look at their team. Tim Duncan's gone, and, you know, look, Kawhi is ninth in scoring. Nobody thinks of him as, like, some scorer. He's ninth in scoring. He's one of only two players in the league, top 15 in offensive and defensive rating, along with Rudy Gobert. He's third in win shares. He's seventh in steals. Now, granted, if we're going to talk straight stats, Westbrook and Harden are insane. This is a weird year for the NBA. I'll tell you what, right today, and I will 100% admit this, by tomorrow on another podcast, I may change my mind. Today, I think I might vote for Kawhi. They're second in the league in wins by a ton. I think people are just, like you said, assuming that the Spurs are always great. And I'm telling you, that video compilation of the Thunder just letting Westbrook get rebounds has clouded me a little bit there. So anyway, I'm going Kawhi today. You got Westbrook. But again, I'm changing my mind tomorrow, maybe. Who knows?
Well, here, put it this way. If Russell Westbrook wasn't having the historic season he was having, it would be a more wide-open MVP race. Like, we're throwing a lot of names into the mix, like Kawhi Leonard, like James Harden, and there's some other guys that are almost maybe secondary players. But in the end, the flashy, historic season that Russell Westbrook is having all but guarantees him that MVP. Because if writers aren't going to, you know, everybody that's voting is not going to want to look back on this in 5 years and say, I didn't vote for this guy, and I watched one of the most historic seasons that we've ever had in NBA history. It's that will garner enough votes just because of how historic it is. Even though, granted, like I said, I wouldn't make Russell Westbrook my starting point guard if I'm building a team in the NBA. I just wouldn't.
No, I'm with you. Right now, the playoffs would set up that OKC and Houston would meet in the first round, which is why, for me, that is the first round. I was going to ask, what's the first round series you want to see? Right now, that one, Houston-OKC, would be a lot of fun. Not only will the scores be something like 132-129 every game, but Harden, Westbrook, we won't know at the time who actually won the award. And even though people have already voted and there's nothing that can change, I almost get the feeling those two are going to go at it as if they're, you know, last-minute campaigning, trying to get at people. Of all the playoff series that are on tap right now, that's the one I would watch. Yes, I think that's a little bit better than, say, Wizards-Bucks from an excitement factor.
Well, look, Wizards-Bucks definitely has at least – I mean, you get to see guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, who people don't necessarily know how to say his name, but they're realizing how much of a talented player he is. But, yeah, if you're looking for the first round, in terms of the talent spread out and the good teams, look, the Eastern Conference just doesn't have it all the way down like the West does, except for – I will say this. I know Portland is – under 500, but they can be watching Damian Lillard up against Steph Curry in the first round. If you have a Warriors Blazers, which you're going to, Warriors Blazers first round matchup, if that ends, as long as the Denver Nuggets don't overtake Portland, I would like to see that. It's not evenly matched teams by any stretch, but just to watch the individual matchups of watching Damian Lillard and really one of the most underrated backcourts in the NBA with the Portland Trailblazers up against what the Warriors have, that would at least be fun to watch just from an NBA fan's perspective.
All right, I'll give you the fun watch.
It's not going to be even. You know that. In no way is it an even matchup, but individual matchups would be fun to see that at least.
That's what stinks about the East. They're just really are not, you know, because the teams in the 5 to 8 range, you know, like you said, Giannis is interesting, and there's some, you know, you can talk yourself into some stuff, but there's no real compelling matchups. The firepower in the bottom half. I mean, look, the Clippers are probably going to be a 5 seed. That Clippers Jazz series is looking pretty awesome too. So, the West will definitely be the where to be for the first round. All right, let's project ahead to the finals. Okay, who would you rather broadcast an NBA Finals game? I apologize in advance for what you're going to have to ponder, because this is not pretty. Here we go. Reggie Miller, Chris Berman, or the guy who apparently is all of a sudden the greatest announcer of all time, Tony Romo.
Calling a final. What? Like, did you drink too much before you came up with this idea? Like, what in the world puts this idea in your head? Well, Berman's off. It was Berman's out of it no matter what.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can you imagine Berman calling an NBA game? And there goes Steph Curry, back, and he hits. No way do I ever want to hear that. So give me either one of those guys over Berman to start. At least Reggie Miller knows the NBA. Romo, this Romo thing is really amazing, though, because it's like the guy has no experience in broadcasting. I get it, he's good in interviews, but that doesn't necessarily translate you right over to broadcasting. I know there's a difference, and you're just being crazy and you're being an idiot even coming up with this topic, though I do love it. You know I love really stupid topics like this. I would go Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller's okay. I don't mind Reggie Miller on games. There's worse. I think he's better than Chris Webber. Webber annoys me. So I would take Reggie Miller out of that group because he's the only guy that actually knows basketball there, so I'll take that.
I can't stand Reggie Miller so much, just even though I guess he would, in theory, if we're going to play it logically, would be the one because he's an actual NBA guy. Screw that. I don't know anything about Romo. I'll take my chances. Give me Romo. He's apparently going to call golf too for CBS, so might as well throw the NBA in there too. Give me Tony Romo. Just and make it a 3-man booth. We'll put Ernie. You know who is it? Mike Breen. I don't know. Throw in Van Gundy and Tony Romo. I'm fine.
I'll tell you what. Out of those three, I would take you over all three of them. Calling it so.
Oh, well, that's both sweet and logical. Frankly, come on. I'm over here talking nonsense for months. All right, let's get back to the actual awards. Hey, a quick word here from our sponsor, SeatGeek. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I just went looking for U2 tickets recently, and SeatGeek, I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how you do it. You download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOWIZARDS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOWIZARDS today. All right, back to the podcast. Rookie of the Year. This one's insane because the people who are the main candidates are not people who were actually like picked anywhere close to anything last year. the three main candidates that seem to be out there are either one, Joel Embiid, who if he had played 60 games would be the unanimous winner, but he's only played like, what, 38 or something because of an injury, and some people don't know how to make what to do with that. Then you got Malcolm Brogdon, a second-round pick who's been incredibly instrumental to what the Bucks are doing, but to have a second-round pick be in the mix is crazy. And then you got Dario Saric, another guy in the Sixers, who was a first-round pick but not picked this year. He's coming to the league. But, again, the Sixers largely stink, which again doesn't apply as much to the rookie of the year, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so those are, I mean, you could pick somebody else, of course, but those seem to be the three main candidates who you got for the rookie of the year this year.
I mean, you got to go in Embiid. At least when he was out on the court, he was a great player. He actually made Sixer games worth watching. I know he didn't play enough, but so what? Rookie of the year, does it really matter that much? I mean, we had Mike Miller win rookie of the year back in, what, 2000? I mean, come on.
How dare you?
Yeah. Oh, really? Was Mike Miller really? Mike Miller was a nice player. He averaged like 11 points a game as a rookie and was rookie of the year. He wasn't anything special that year. You got to give it.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Somebody, unless you want to just vacate it and just don't give the award this year, it's Joel Embiid. He's at least somebody that, when he was on the court, I know it wasn't a lot, he was still a dynamic player. He was fun to watch. And let's go back and look at his numbers. I mean, what he did in terms of the performance and in terms of the results he gave the Sixers on the court, that was with minutes restrictions the entire year. So he actually accomplished a lot in the short amount of time that he was out there. Give it to Embiid. Plus, he also goes on stage and dances. He's great on Twitter. He's a personality. You might as well start promoting this guy now, because as long as he stays healthy, he's actually going to be a really, really exciting player in the NBA.
Okay. Well, first of all, Mike Miller, guest of the Locked On Wizards podcast. So we protect anybody who's been on this podcast. That's number one.
Hey. I have nothing against Mike Miller. I just want to point out that he was rookie of the year in a year that did not have very big names and very big performances from rookies. Just saying.
He was a top 10 pick, I think, at least. He was at least reasonable. Like, I mean, Malcolm Brogdon, nobody saw this one coming. And honestly, I'm going with Malcolm Brogdon. Look, nobody loves Embiid more than me. Even the future Mrs. Embiid. I love Joel Embiid. He barely played, though. He played less than 40 games. I'm not putting Kevin Durant in the MVP category because he missed a ton of games. You have to play. I mean, ultimately, this is the award is the blank of the year. So to me, I'm not giving it to a guy who didn't play that much, even if he would have been a runaway winner otherwise. Well, you look at Milwaukee; they're right now fifth in the East, even though Jabari Parker has missed and Chris Middleton both missed tons of games on different ends of the calendar. And part of the reason is yes, Giannis is amazing. But Malcolm Brogdon has been a huge piece for them. Three-point threat, defense, he's smart. I think it's almost like – it's not only has he played well, but he's almost been that really sort of MVP type of rookie for what Milwaukee's doing. So, I'm going to go with Malcolm Brogdon.
All right, whatever, fine, if you want to. We'll agree to disagree.
Well, you know.
You think – this is the funny thing is that you think far more logically than me when it comes to this. And you're looking at the team performance and the stats, and I'm just looking at a guy that was really entertaining and got a lot of attention on a team that's been a joke for years in the NBA.
Well, look, man, I mean, you know, I take all this way too seriously. I've been accused many times. And also, you host a show with Chris Russell. You have to think outside the box to counter whatever the heck he's talking about. all right, let's get to a wizardy type question. Here we go. Ready for this one? This will be a fun one for you.
All right.
Best move made by Ernie Grunfeld this year / last offseason. So you can include anything that happened in the year made by Ernie Grunfeld other than Scott Brooks. That's too easy. Hiring Scott Brooks would be the easy answer. So anything not Scott Brooks from July 1st when the new season started to now. Best move by Ernie Grunfeld. I can go first if you'd like, if you need time to contemplate, but otherwise, guest first.
I'll let you go first because I'm sure it's going to be really logical and numbers based, and I'm excited to hear what your research tells you.
No, this is just a, by the way, it is pouring on my outside my window right now. It's like Noah's Ark is going to come by any sec. Holy
crap. Yeah, I had sleet, or not sleet, but hail a few minutes ago coming down. I had to shut windows in my house, so I'm like walking around the house. It was crazy.
You had a tornado warning.
Yeah, I was under a tornado warning for a while, so that was cool. I was looking out the window while I'm talking to you at the very beginning, hoping that, you know, no tornadoes coming, because I hear this loud rumbling sound, and it was just thunder. So, you know, I made it through, though. I stuck through it for you. All of this storm, I'm going to fight through it.
All right, I appreciate that. All right, so look, I mean, I won't get into all things Ernie Grunfeld. We've talked about him plenty on the podcast, and I'm sure we will more later. I've defended him plenty, but, you know, it's hard to argue that a lot of the things that happened in this offseason, especially back last summer, were particularly impressive. And because of some of the moves they made, they had to go out and spend a first-round pick to get Bojan Bogdanović. If you told me today that Bogdanović will re-sign, then I might go with him, even though he gave up the one. But since I can't be sure of that, and that would be look not so good, I'm going to go with a mea culpa here on this one. I didn't have much of a feeling about this player when they signed him. And in the beginning of the year, I was like, oh, boy, this looks like a possible disaster. Come on, Jason Smith is killing it. He is a three-point machine, and not only is he turning, giving them that deep threat from a seven-footer, he is just the consummate teammate. John Wall was always talking about that he hasn't played with anybody. He may not have played with anybody as professional as Jason Smith. He brings up whenever he plays, even if he's been out for a while. Yeah, we can argue that the potential three-year deal isn't so super exciting. But Jason Smith has been a key player for them down the stretch. He's given them energy always. I'm going Jason Smith.
Now, remember, Bogdanović Wright is a restricted free agent. He's not unrestricted, so they can still bring him back no matter what, even if their price tag is a little bit high.
Right, but the reality is that if you're going to re-sign Otto, they're not going to go into luxury tax. So realistically, they probably can't bring him back unless they get rid of somebody else. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I like the win now mode for this team because the bench was so abysmal. That's why I was like, if you look at what the Wizards did in the offseason, before we look at anything they did in the season in terms of moves, there wasn't much to pick from. But they've sorted up, and look, Ernie Grunfeld may be the best general manager in the NBA in terms of putting out his fires. He makes a mistake, but give the guy credit because he will clean it up and he'll make it work. Bogdanović, to me, is the guy simply because this is a team that's looking at an Eastern Conference that's not guaranteed to be dominated by Cleveland. They see weaknesses in Cleveland. A lot of people see weaknesses in Cleveland. I'm not writing Cleveland off by any stretch of the imagination, but they see an Eastern Conference that says there's at least a path now that's going to be easier than it was last year and the year before. Let's go after a guy that we know is going to make our bench better. Then they add Brandon Jennings on top of that. Bogdanović, to me, is the guy that they've added that's made the most sense, that's made the biggest difference for them. I understand that there is some long-term possible ramifications in terms of what's going to cost them in the offseason and their lottery pick, a first-round pick. But let's be honest, it's not going to be a lottery pick, so it's not that valuable. And look, we saw this before, and you and I talked about this before when the Markieff Morris trade, and people freaked out that they gave up a first-round pick. It was the 13th pick in the draft. There was no value to it in a weak draft. I know this draft is going to be stronger, but Bogdanović, if you can keep him, you put yourself in a position where you're getting more talent at, let's say, the 22nd, 23rd pick in Bogdanović than some rookie that may take a couple of years to develop, if at all. So I like the Bogdanović move. That was my favorite. I was excited when they did it, and that's still going to go down to me as the best move that Grunfeld made this year.
All right. So I know we don't have tons of time with you today, so we'll go through a couple of these pretty quick. You and I can both talk long, so let's try to – maybe we'll both either go yes, no, over, under, or Twitter-size responses for both of us. All right, here we go. None of these guys are going to win the MVP, but who is the better MVP candidate? Pick one. John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, Rudy Gobert.
I like all three of them, and I really want to see a campaign for John Wall for MVP, even though he's not going to win it. Isaiah Thomas is the closest one there. I mean, if you look at what he's doing on a Boston team that just – they've got some good players around him, but John Wall does play with better talent. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is averaging 29 points a game. The guy turns the ball over less than three times a game. They're shooting about the same if you look at Wall and Isaiah Thomas in comparison. I mean, what Isaiah Thomas is doing, being able to single-handedly carry that team and dominate in the fourth quarter the way that he has, puts him out of those three guys as the guy that I want. Because think about it. To me, an MVP is a guy One of the issues that you need to have is, can I put the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter? Can he carry us to a win? Out of all of them, Isaiah Thomas is the guy. And it's no knock against John Wall because he's had an unbelievable season. And I would love to see him get votes, at least for like third place. But Isaiah Thomas has been just incredible carrying that Boston team this year. I like Gobert. I think one day he's going to be one of the group of guys that's going to bring back the big man evolution in the NBA over the next 3 to 4 years, like Karl-Anthony Towns, Taps Porzingis, if Embiid stays healthy. Gobert's in that group of, hey, the big man's going to trend back into the NBA in the next few years. But I want the ball in Isaiah Thomas's hands in the fourth quarter, and I want him taking over a game for us.
Rudy Gobert is incredibly, not underrated in the NBA circles, but in terms of like sort of the broad analysis, what he does, what he provides Utah is incredible. The two games I watched him play start to finish against the Wizards, he just dominated even without scoring a lot. But I'm going to go with the homer pick. We'll go John Wall. I'm not stupid. Right. I know you're listening to my podcast. But
You know this. I would love to give it to John Wall, and I would have no. I'm not going to argue against John Wall out of those three because he absolutely deserves consideration for it too. I mean, I've been pushing that for a while that more people should put him in that category. So, you know, I'm just put it this way. I'm just glad that the Wizards have John Wall and not Russell Westbrook. I would rather have John Wall as my point guard than Russell Westbrook, 10 times out of 10.
100%. And by the way, if the Celtics finishes the one seed, I think Isaiah Thomas legitimately should get top 3 to 4 MVP consideration because they don't have star-studded team. If they get to be the one, I don't care what's up with Cleveland. If they're the one, that's crazy. That's crazy impressive. All right, over under 7.5 losses for Golden State in the entire playoffs. 7.5. So even if they go to a game 7 in the finals like they did last year, they can only lose 5 more games the other 3 rounds.
I'm going to take the over on that one. This team's not as dominant as it was last year. I mean, I know they're on a 13-game win streak right now, but what they did last year in the 73 wins, they were even more dominant, which is kind of scary to think about. At some point, Durant's going to be back soon for them. You know, Durant's going to be worked into the mix. Durant's going to be fully Durant again. It's going to take some time for this team to readjust to having him back in the mix on a regular basis. I'm going to go take the over, but look, they're still the best team in the Western Conference. They're right now the best team in the NBA. So that, to me, you're throwing out a number where you could just flip a coin and pick either way.
All right, so I'm thinking they sweep Portland, if that's the way it is, but I'm with you. Portland could
Come on, man. Portland's taken into 7 games. What are you talking about?
Well, if that happens, then this is going away. it could be Lillard, McCollum could shoot them to a win one game at home, but I'm saying they sweep Portland. I think they lose at least one to Utah, maybe two. Utah's defense is just that good.
Utah's tough, man.
I think, you know, I'm going to take it back. I think they lose two to Utah, and they may only lose one to the Spurs. I just don't think the Spurs have enough firepower ultimately. I think they overachieve in the regular season, but I think they're going to get exposed. But I'm going to probably assume a finals against Cleveland. I'm going to guess goes 7. By the way, I shouldn't assume Cleveland Wizards fans. I know. I hear you. I'm just going with the current standings that they're the one seed. So I'll go over, but just a tick. If Utah doesn't get them to 6, then I'm going to say that's going under. Another over-under, Russell Westbrook, 5.5 triple-doubles in the playoffs. If he plays 2 rounds, that's a lock. But if he only plays 1 round, could we go under? I'm going to say
– no. Yeah.
I'm going to go under. Better defense in the playoffs. That Houston series, if they play Houston, maybe it goes 6. I mean, you know, I don't know if OKC is that good. I'll go under. He doesn't get at least one game, he doesn't get it. So I'll go under.
I would say 3 max for him. He's going to be defended differently. The games are officiated differently in the playoffs. It's more physical. Look, he's fun to watch, but there's a certain point where when your team is so surrounded by role players and then one superstar, defenses can zone in on that. They can figure it out. Not like they haven't already. The playoffs are a different animal. I'm definitely taking the under on that. There's no question.
All right, Coach of the Year, lots of different candidates, lots of different ways to go. I personally think Scott Brooks should be a top 3 candidate, but I say that as somebody who's watching the Wizards above and beyond everything else. A lot of other candidates. I didn't pick James Harden for the MVP, but I will give Houston hardware here. I'll go Mike D'Antoni. Houston has definitely been a bigger surprise this year. And Harden's season, to me, I attribute it obviously he's a great player, but I attribute it a lot to Mike D'Antoni doing a great job of putting him in a great position to succeed. So give me Mike D'Antoni.
Isn't it funny? Because first off, I am going to agree with you, and I hate to agree with you on anything because then you'll just gloat whenever that happens. But Mike D'Antoni, think about his career trajectory. He was the offensive genius with Phoenix. Without the right pieces, it was a terrible decision for him in the first place. That doesn't work out. Then the Lakers, for some strange reason, hire him with even fewer pieces that work with his offense at all. That doesn't work out. And now the NBA has evolved into this Warriors-type offense that we see, and really what Mike D'Antoni sort of created with less defense, of course, when he was in Phoenix. And now he looks like this genius again that everybody's sort of forgotten about. When Houston was looking for a coach, from the beginning, I said, they got to hire D'Antoni, get D'Antoni. I don't care what it takes with the guys you have on that roster and with what Daryl Morey and that organization wants to do. He's the perfect guy for you. It's worked out perfectly for them. Mike D'Antoni, without question, be coach of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I think Brad Stevens could definitely be in the mix. Greg Popovich, like I said, if I'm going to give Kawhi all that credit, Popovich, we should not underestimate him.
Maybe Quinn Snyder in Utah. Quinn Snyder could be a guy in Utah with what he's done with that Jazz team.
Absolutely. And then, you know, Eric Spoelstra, I mean, Miami, they cooled off a little bit because after Deion Waiters got hurt. But to come back from that ridiculously bad start to get in the mix, I'm sure I'm forgetting a name or two. But lots of good candidates this year. I'll go D'Antoni. But I really hope Brooks at least finishes top three because I think he deserves it. All right, last question. Biggest playoff X factor for the Wizards. So this is not really an award. This is a future. We're future casting here. Biggest playoff X factor for the Wizards. Todd Dibas and I went into this a little bit after the Charlotte game. He threw out his idea. You're a man of your own convictions. He threw out Markieff Morris because I guess Scott Brooks has been saying often it's Kelly Oubre. He threw out Markieff Morris. Brooks says Oubre. What says Ashu?
I'm actually going to go Jason Smith. You know, you mentioned it before and how great of a shooter he's become. You've got that stretch four, stretch five out there for you now. You need that in the NBA, and you can use that in the playoffs. And the fact that they couldn't figure out a role for him for a long time, you bring him in off the bench, and he presents an opportunity where he's going to knock down a couple of big three-point shots for you, maybe get you some rebounds, play defense. He knows what his role is, and he knows it's not a big one, and he accepts it. And that makes for a really important player in the playoffs because – you know, we do see this at times where there's somebody that gets hot in the second, third quarter of a game and it spans for 2 to 3 games in a playoff series. Jason Smith's that guy. I mean, he's really important to the Wizards.
By the way, since we're here, apparently Golden State, while we're talking, just announced that Kevin Durant is set to play on Saturday.
There you go. And I think I just got an alert on my phone. Yep, I just got something that said it too, so that's funny.
I was actually going to have a different question of who is the biggest X factor in the entire playoffs. And I was kind of going to say it was Durant because right now Golden State is on an insanely good run. And obviously he's a great player, but how do they integrate him this close to the playoffs? I mean, you know, I know they had been playing with each other, but it feels like this Golden State we've seen this last 12 games. And again, I saw them play the Wizards and just kill them. So that's prior to my thinking. But it feels like they're off. This is the Golden State we've seen. And it's that more so than any other part of the Golden State I've saw earlier in the year.
You know what? I just, like I said, I want to see how Golden State reintegrates Durant because they did struggle with it a little bit at the beginning of the year. Now, I'm not going to throw out some crazy hot take like, oh, they're going to lose in the second round because it's just not going to work. They're damn good with Durant. They're damn good without Durant. It just takes time for this team, it seems like, to adjust everybody's roles in the right way. I mean, you see Steph Curry putting up 40-point games now. He wasn't doing that earlier this year. Steph Curry is the guy that sacrificed his role more than anybody else when Durant came onto the Warriors. It wasn't Klay Thompson. It wasn't, you know, Draymond Green, anybody like that. It was Steph Curry that did it, and he sort of found the old story recently again. And then when you throw Durant back in the mix, everybody's got to kind of figure out the shot selection, everything again. So it'll take them a little bit of time, but give me a break. The amount of talent on that team, we know how ridiculous it is. So,
I'm with you. By the way, my X factor, I think I would have to go with Markieff Morris. When the Wizards were at their best, he was getting rebounds and hitting threes. He stunk shooting from three in March, and he's not been getting rebounds at a terribly impressive clip. If he can hit 35% and up and grab 8 rebounds a game, the Wizards can hang with folks. And plus, they're going to need him, whether they're facing a he gives them that toughness. They're going to need him to guard a LeBron if they get to that point. So give me Markieff Morris. Let me give you guys Nick's Twitter handle one more time, at Nick Ashew. Find him on 106.7 The Fan. Anything else I need to let the world know? You are occasionally also over at the CSN Mid-Atlantic doing basketball.
Yes. Below the Rim, our web show, Below the Rim, that we do every week, so you can look for that as well. There should be a new one posted. Well, we're recording this as of Thursday, so it'll be posted Thursday. If not, CSN Wizards tweets it out, and I'll tweet it out, and Chase Hughes tweets it out, and Keely Diven tweets it out, so you'll be able to find it.
Yeah, I don't really care about promoting them. I was promoting you. CSN, I'm not, you know, they don't need my help. You, I'm happy to help you. Them, I don't know, whatever.
I appreciate you looking out for me. That's what matters the most, buddy.
Absolutely. All right. We'll call it there. Thank you guys, of course, for listening. As always, you know, you can find all the podcasts on iTunes. Wizards back in action Saturday against the Miami Heat. I presume that will mean I will be back in the Verizon Center talking about that game afterwards with Todd Dybas. So check us out there. Thanks to Nick Ashew. And until next time, see ya.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Long drive, long bounce shot. Dagger!